But it's one that connects to no matter where you are in your life right now. So I was struggling as usual when I'm asked to do the message, like, what am I going to speak about? What am I going to talk about? Lord, you got to help me. And I was laying in bed one night and all I heard was, just be still and know that I am God. I thought, okay, I'm going to jump off on that. You got to help me. So there's many things that we can have in our life that are going on that can steal our joy, steal our peace. There's so much going on in the world right now, you can't go anywhere or turn on the radio or the TV and have so much going on. There's wars, there's floods, there's earthquakes, there's all kind of situations going on, and it's like a very overwhelming thing. And then plus the things that may be going on in our own life, there's things that are going on with everybody's life at some point in time that comes to us when we are very vulnerable to fall into fear and doubt and worry. And so I think that this could just touch us no matter where we are or what we will enter into our life, no matter what. And when we have these things going on in our life, a crisis or a problem, our tendency is to be consumed with that problem, that we hang on to it and we focus on it and we say that we're not going to, but we still do. It's our default because it's our natural thing to just go to what we has a priority in our life at that time. And so it's really hard because we have to purposely refocus our mind and focus on what God says. And there are things that we just can't control. There are things that we can control, but a lot of things we cannot control. And so the problem lies when we try to be in control and we try to fix things on our own. We try to do things on our own strength. And then all of a sudden, we forget about what God can do and we place the focus on what we can do. And we know that we cannot do things in our own strength because it's just a never-ending battle. So our tendency is to do something. It's something that we need to try and fix or figure out. Well, why is this happening? What did I do wrong? Well, what if this happens? And I know I am this way. I can speak for myself, and I'm sure probably a lot of you. I can put a situation in my thoughts and already create the scenario way ahead of that and know what and think that I know what's going to happen. And that could possibly never happen. But in my mind, my fear is this could happen, that could happen, that's going to happen. And so we have no idea what the future is, but God does. And my message basically from that scripture comes from Psalms 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. And when I read that over a couple times, it just came to me to break this down, to be still. Now, we think of being still as motionless, we're not active, we're not doing, we're quiet, we're silent. Well, that's a good meaning too. But the Hebrew, there's a spiritual meaning for that in the Hebrew. And to be still means to sink down, to relax, to let go, cease striving, or withdraw. And the key words that hit me right away is cease striving. We strive to do things and make it work. We strive to rationalize the issue and say, well, this is what I can do to try to avoid the pain, avoid the discomfort, avoid all this that I fear. But that doesn't work. And we know that that just creates more anxiety, more worry. Instead of what he says to be still, we are overactive with our minds in worry. And I don't know about you, but I can have an overactive mind. Can you? That's why I think of be still is also be still in our mind. be still and calm our thoughts and just slow it down and say, let's just take some time, take a breath, and go and just go into God's word, go into his presence, and ask him to help us. Because when we worry, it just causes more problems in our health. It causes problems in our relationship because we're just reacting, and because of we're not ourselves. We act differently when we're under that pressure and worry. Sometimes we can just snap at someone. We didn't mean it, but it's just because we're anxious about something. We're dealing with stuff. And in the scripture in Matthew 6:26, these are all familiar scriptures, but it says, 26 and 27, I have to find it here on my Bible here. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Worrying doesn't cause any good results. It only takes you deeper and deeper into a dark hole. Because when we start to worry, and if we let it go, it's like a snowball effect. It'll just keep adding and adding and adding. And in verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, a lot of us tend to forget about what we have to stay in today. I always am looking about tomorrow. What do I have? I got to deal with this tomorrow. I got to deal with this next week. I got to deal with this next month. And what if this happens? What if that happens? What if it doesn't fall into place? It's like it can drive you to a place of so isolation and fear that you're not productive at all, and we're not really walking in faith. And Jesus even says, the Bible says too, that cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. That's from Psalms 55:22. And I like that because he tells us all the time to cast our cares upon him. But do we? We like to hold on to them because we think if we hold on to them, there's something that we can still do. So we need to be in the today, not the tomorrow, and not the past, because sometimes we can relate to things that were negative in the past, and we hang on to that and think, well, that happened then, so now this might be what's going to happen now and tomorrow. We can't do that either. So, like he says, be concerned with today. Tomorrow has enough concerns of its own. I know it's easy to say. It's harder to do. I know, just like everyone else, the same thing. And we're not denying the reality of situations. That's not what I'm saying either. Things that are happening are real. They're real things. But we don't want to give it power. We don't want to give the negative thoughts the power to make it big and overwhelming in our life. And we have to have a perspective of God's perspective, not ours. God already knows every issue that we are going to deal with every single moment of the day. And it's hard to think that that's so true, but it is. He knows everything ahead of time, and he goes before us. And when we look at, in Mark, when Jesus, Mark 4:37, he was in the boat with the disciples, and the fierce storm came. And when I look at that, the verses that really, he in verse 39, he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves because they were worried. They said, Jesus, don't you care about us? It's like we're going to drown and you're sleeping in the boat. And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the wave and said, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. What happens to us is, don't you care, Jesus? Look what's happening. Look what's going around. We're going to die, or this is going to happen. And a lot of times we think, when we ask God, don't you care? God does care. But in that moment of fear, doubt, and worry, we can start to think that. But then Jesus had control. That just shows that God is in control of the nature and in the world and in our own spiritual lives. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Well, the disciples saw a lot of things that Jesus did for everybody else, and they knew that he could, and he did all these miracles and was showing how he had the power and ability to do it. But when it came to their own crisis, they doubted. And do we do that? We could see God do something in someone else's life, but I don't know if he could do that for me. So Jesus asks us, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Is there an issue that's coming into your life or that you're dealing with that you are so not trusting God? So a lot of times we try to figure out the whole situation of what's going on, and we know that we can't control what other people do. We can't control what the world is doing. We can't control wars. We can't control our children or whatever. The events in life that happen, they happen. So that's a reality. But a lot of times I feel like myself, I try to escape that. I don't want to feel the pain of that. I don't want to go through that. So I try to escape it and avoid it at all costs. And so I just don't like to deal with stuff because it puts me in a place of having to decide, do I want to do this on my own or do I want to trust God and let go, like it says, be still? Do I want to not strive anymore? Because I'm a person of control, and I'll admit that. I like control. I like to schedule. I like to know ahead, way ahead, and have everything in my plan, my agenda. And when something throws a wrench in my agenda, it's really hard to bounce back because I feel like I have to be in control. Now it's messed up. So the next part of that scripture that says, after be still and know. Be still and know. And when I look up the biblical way of knowing, it means an intimate experiential knowing, an understanding of who God is. Through all of our experiences that we go through in life, there's always a period that we could look back and we've gone through something, we've experienced his hand upon us, we've experienced his peace upon us, we've experienced him getting through us through the worst times of things, and that's how I know that God is good. That's how I know God can do. He is able, and I am able to do all things through him, but only through him. God is sovereign. He is all-knowing. And he even says, be still and know that I am. I am the I am. I am God. He doesn't say, I was God. I will be. He is the I am, all-present, all-knowing with us. And here's the thing I thought of too. God knows everything about us, but do we know what God thinks about us? Do you know his thoughts towards you? Do you know his love for you? Do you know his provision for you? Do you know that he knows your struggles, your pain? We have to know that, and we have to know that he is God, and he is above all things. He knows us. I always go back to this. No matter what, he knew us before we were created in the womb. He knows us. He knows all about it. So we have to take a breath, realign ourselves with who God is, and know, have confidence, have faith, and know who God is, and believe it. Because we can know what the Bible says about God. We can learn about his character. But do we know from experience? Do we really know God? And that's where I think when the rubber hits the road, we learn who God is. We learn to either trust him or struggle on our own and really struggle, because if it's our own strength, we're not doing very well. And we have to know also that God is working behind the scenes, because it may be that you are waiting for an answer or a breakthrough or this struggle to be over, but we don't see it maybe today. We don't see it maybe next week. We may not see it next month. We may not see it for a couple years for a breakthrough. But God's timing is all what matters. Is His timing is perfect. His way is perfect. Our thoughts about what should be don't always make the best sense, but to us at the time it does, but to God, He knows what's best. When Moses was with the Israelites at the Red Sea, they were being frantic. Well, I would be too, let's be honest. We're all standing there, and there's this huge crowd of the chariots coming, and they're like, we just got out of there, and now we're standing, we're going to be taken out by these the Pharaoh and his armies. But Moses instructed the Israelites not to be afraid. He said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Well, it's really hard to be still when there's a big problem coming at you like that. But the stillness isn't just being still without doing what we're to do, but the stillness comes with being still in our heart. Be still in calmness and quietness, trusting God. I don't understand this. Let's be honest. There's a lot of things that we can't fathom and understand. We don't understand why. We don't understand why this happened. We don't understand what's going to happen. But we need to learn to just cast our cares on Him, trust Him through all things. Because He tells us to trust Him to work on our behalf in all things. We need to relinquish control and anxiety to God. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their wicked schemes. There are times when it seems like all the people that are doing the worst things, the evil things, are getting away with it. They're the ones that are getting, not having to be judged or reprimanded, and we're dealing with this and we're doing the right thing. And sometimes it's just not fair. It doesn't seem fair. But yet, the Lord says, just wait. Don't fear. Wait patiently. And wait for those breakthroughs, too. Wait for the breakthroughs. This calls us as believers to a steadfast trust. So we need to cease frantic striving, endure God's timing, and reject worry. And He is above all nations. So how do we be still? Well, these are some things that we can do. Make sure to make time to come to the Lord. And take time to disconnect from this. This is our biggest drawing addiction, I think, that we all have. I just realized, I have to tell you this because it just taught me a lesson. We have slow, high-speed internet. Through DSL, it's very slow. But anyway, we have a Roku that we watch and stream our shows on, so that's the only way we can watch TV. And then I hook up to my wireless router with my phone, and we're always checking our phone and this and that, or watching a show, and sometimes the TV's on, we're not even really watching it. Well, guess what? My internet went down. I'm like, I don't have any internet. I don't have any TV. I don't have any Wi-Fi. And it was like, okay, so I had to learn to just adjust. So what do? I'm like, geez, I have all this time to not be consumed with the news. I actually disconnected. I didn't hear anything. I said to anybody, I don't know what's happening in the world. I don't know if we're going to war with someone bombing us or what over there. But it's just like, you know what? It gave me time. It gave me time to realize I need to disconnect from all this stuff. I needed to take time and say, I have time to read my Bible, my devotion. I have more time to talk with the Lord and just sit there and be still. and not get so busy with my mind connecting with everything else. So we need to take that time. And we need to be honest and ask for him and his direction to help us through these things. He is always with us. He never abandoned us. He is always there to help us through whatever we're going through. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our peace. He is our fortress. He is our rock. You could go through all the scriptures. Just keep saying them out loud. Lord, you are my rock. Lord, you are my fortress. Lord, you care about me. I know that you will help me in this time of trouble. Say it out loud. And come with a thankful heart, knowing that he is with us. He is for us, not against us. He's not a God up there that says, good for you, you deserve that. That's why, because you did this, this is your punishment. No, God doesn't do that way. Yes, he does correct us, but he's always correcting us in love. He never corrects us with condemnation and a nasty, I'm going to strike you dead with a bolt of lightning kind of thing that sometimes we think like that. That's so crazy. But anyway, and he is for us. He has not forsaken us. I think of he's in the boat with us. Just like the disciples and Jesus was there, he's with us. And we have to ask him for his strength and grace. God says, you have not because you ask not. Why are we so first to go to a friend and tell all our troubles to? I got to run and tell my friends what's going on. Instead, we need to go to him, go to the Lord and say this. He knows it, but he wants us to pour out our hearts to him and tell him what's going on and what we need. So we need to stop trying to figure things out and let him do the figuring. We need to purposely come into a place of quietness. Jesus went away into the wilderness, and Jesus was who he was. He was busy all the time, but yet he made time to get away and go and talk with the Father. And that's what we need to do too. I want to read Psalm 46:10 again, but this is in the Passion Translation because I think it just puts a nice, the way it's worded. It says, surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. And my question is, before we leave, to our thoughts as we leave, is where may you need to trust and surrender more to the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you care for us, that you love us, that you know every detail of our life, and you know our needs. You know our pain, our hurts, our struggles, our issues that we are dealing with this in this life. But we know that with your strength and your care and your guidance, you are always with us, Lord. And whatever is going on in anyone's life or will come into our life, Lord, help us to remember to trust you and to focus upon you, have your perspective, knowing that you are God and you care for us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.